Does he show my keychains too?
No, that's I just don't have the same zeal for keychains as you.
Sorry, we just had a misunderstanding. The Lord is good, isn't he? I love ministry. It's so much fun. Daniel gave me a keychain. It's a flashlight. He says if you hold it on too long, it'll go off. I hadn't done it yet for me. So, and Steve and Sheila got to go on a cruise, although I was getting ready to leave to go out of town, and they said, we're going on a cruise. And I said, where are you going? I said, Galveston. I said, did you know there's a hurricane coming in down there? And they said, yeah, but it I guess, missed them by a little bit. But I got keychains anyway. This is Texas, the Lone Star State, the map of Texas, which is cool. And then they got went to Galveston Island in Texas, so that was cool. And then they went on the Ecstasy Carnival Cruise Line, and that was quite an interesting experience, I'm sure. And then here's a little AT&T light. Isn't that cool? All right, thank you guys. Appreciate it. I'm glad you had a good time. I hope you had a good time. Huh? Yeah, it's been a while since it went, actually. Well, how are you doing? Okay? Well, there's nobody here but us. So we might as well have church today. Well, what are you hoping for? What is it that you're hoping for? Pastor Kenton went through a little preview. We've talked about our confident hope a couple of times. We've talked about if there's no God, you're not going to have any hope, right? And I saw Sunday night, I was so impressed because men's ministry, sent by Justin and Johnny gave out his little study guide thing. And right down there in the middle of the study guide made by Max Licato, it said, no God, no hope. I thought, well, that's good. That's like my sermon title this morning. That's why I underlined it and showed it to Justin. And Well, it seems only right, if we're going to talk about hope, to talk a little bit about faith, because you really can't describe the word without using both words. They go together. And this kind of goes back full circle to the first sermon I did on this series, because I talked about faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, and we talked about those different words. It didn't get recorded, but some problem with the recorder, but so I'm really kind of coming back to that a little bit today. But I want to look at what it means to really have faith, and how the writer in the Hebrews chapter 11 describes it or defines faith. It's a very important word because it has this idea about hope in it. We want to talk about that a minute. Now, most of you can quote Hebrews 11:1, usually using King James Version. It would sound something like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we kind of know that definition of faith, don't we? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, what does that mean? Let's look at it over in my translation, New Living Translation, that I like so much. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Let me say that again. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So we have two basic points today that we want to make out of that definition that the writer of the Hebrews gives us about faith. Now, if you look at it in the King James Version, of course, you see it starts with the word now. So anytime you have a passage of Scripture, particularly the first of a chapter where it says now or therefore, you got to go find out what the now is there for. Because the problem with the Bible that we don't maybe sometimes think about is that the original Scriptures were not written in chapters and verses. It was just one letter. So if you were reading this in Hebrews chapter 10 right into chapter 11, you wouldn't have that break for you, and it would just go, and now, and so he's going to say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we have to see what the now is now for, therefore. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, 39 says, in King James, says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come not and will not tarry. Man, I cannot even read. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Now, faith is. See, that's how it goes. Now let's read it in the New Living Translation. I'll make a little more sense to you, and I might be able to actually read it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 says, "For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay." How many of you are looking forward to Jesus' return? Are you? I'm going to preach about that next week. It's actually my next week's sermon, so I'll be careful with it today. He says that he will not delay. "And my righteous ones will live by faith." So God is calling us to live by faith. "But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved." Now, faith is. And that's what Paul is trying to help, or the writer of the Hebrews, we don't know if Paul wrote it or not. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is really trying to help us understand, is that Jesus is coming, there is a hope, and God is not interested, he's not pleased with those who draw back or shrink back, or the idea is to turn away. God wants us to stick to the plan, right? Stick to the walk. And you can't separate hope from faith, because they really just go together. And you can't separate hope from the fact that Jesus is going to return one day. That is really is our hope. If you live in this world without the hope that Jesus is returning, you're a hopeless person. Because if you're living this life without the hope of Jesus' return, you must be among all men most miserable. The only way that I make it at all through my day, through ministry, through dealing with people, dealing with life, is that I know one day Jesus is going to come and take me away from all this mess. Amen. You're part of the mess. So when you amen to me, you just amen that. See? No, really. I'm part of the mess as well, of course. We all are. Human beings are human beings, and will always be, and we might as well just own up to it, admit it, and realize we're going to make some mistakes along the way. We're going to say the wrong things a few times in life. Kalinda told me a while ago he doesn't have Alzheimer's, he just has some timers. It's true. Or part-timers, yeah. So as you look at this 11th chapter of Hebrews, which we're not going to really do directly, but if you were to go look at it, you'd see in this hall of faith, this people who have been enshrined in this great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 are people who learned how to live by faith and didn't shrink back. They didn't turn back. God takes no pleasure in those who turn away. Now you say, well, boy, you're not very nice. Well, let me just tell you something. I'm responsible to tell you the truth. And if you're turning away from believing God and not standing strong in your faith, God's not pleased with that. He's not. He wants us to stand strong in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the difficult times. You say, well, Pastor Ron, that's hard. I know. I've been through a few times myself. I didn't say it was easy. This is what we're called to do. And the way we do that is realize that faith is the assurance that what we hope for will actually happen. That's what this translation says. Now, we'll come back to this in a minute, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So in some ways, we have to come back to this basic truth that we must live by faith. God wants us to live by faith because our hope is tied to that. So let's take a little journey today and look at a couple points. Number one in your little notes, faith is confidence. Now, I don't walk in a lot of confidence. I'm not a very confident person. In fact, I'm pretty insecure in a lot of ways, and it really aggravates me at myself sometimes. I asked Jonathan one time when he was getting ready to, a couple weeks prior, he was going to preach his first sermon here. I said, "Oh, you're nervous at all about this?" And he goes, "Not nervous." I said, "Really? That's cool, because I'm nervous every single week." I like it when people are confident. I just not my style. Now, this week, Jonathan tried out, as you might already know, because it's in the bulletin, for the OKC Thunder drum team. Now, the new NBA team came to Oklahoma City, and they had about 50-something people came out to Guitar Center to try out. And they picked eight people, and Pastor John is one of those. Isn't that cool? So what an opportunity to do that. But when he went over there that day, he's telling Jessica and me, I'm nervous. I'm scared. Ooh. Well, now I know his abilities. Diane says, Jonathan, don't be uptight or don't be tense because you could play the table. You can play the steering wheel. You can play anything. And so his brother made him a really cool video, and he was just styling and profiling over there and won one of the spots. So we're excited to see what that takes him and how many opportunities he has. But faith is confidence. Faith is confidence that what we hope will actually happen. Now, here's where we struggle because we talk a lot about faith, but as you can see in this passage, you can't separate faith from hope. Faith is the confidence that what you hope for will happen. So if you're going to have faith for something, you really also have to have hope for it. So you got to get a picture. You got to get an idea of what you're wanting to actually happen. So if I want this altar to move over there, I have to have confidence that what I want, what I'm hoping for, will actually take place. Now, I'm not talking about mental telepathy like, but if I wanted this altar over there, I have a lot of confidence and hope that I have a couple of guys in this church that if I ask them, they'd move it. Amen. But when it comes to the things of the Lord and the things of the Spirit and the things of our life, we have to learn to get a vision, a hope, of what it is that we really want life to be like. How do you want your marriage? How do you want it to operate? How do you want it to be? Do you want it to be happy, fulfilled? Do you want your marriage to be one of those marriages that people can look at and get an idea of what marriage should be like? Then faith is the confidence that what you hope for will actually happen. You have a financial issue in your life. You need a financial breakthrough. Well, it's fine to say, I'm just having faith, Pastor Ron, just having faith. But you got to get a hope. See, you have to put the hope in there. You can't leave that out. You can just say, I'm having faith, but what are you having faith for? Faith is the confidence that what you hope for will actually happen. So you got to get a hope for in your life. Amen. And so many people don't get what they really need because they don't hope for it. They have faith in God that He can do anything. I think if I was to ask you today, how many of you believe, in fact, let me just ask you, how many of you in this room believe that God can do anything? Absolutely can do anything. You know, you got those questions people ask you sometimes. Can God pick up a rock so big he can't pick it up, make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Well, that's stupid. Of course, God's not going to do that. There's not a rock like that. He's not dumb, and he's not this, you know. And people will come and say, do you think, whatever. The Bible says that with God, nothing is impossible. I don't care what it is, with God, nothing is impossible. So if that's true, you can have faith in that verse in the Bible, but you got to have something that you're putting on the block. Got to put something on the table, what you're hoping for. I have faith God can do all things, but what specifically do you want God to do? What is your list of things you need God to do? What are you hoping for? What have you put in your hope for? Well, if you need a job, God has a hope that he can give you for a job. If you need a change of pace, you need something to change in your life, take that thing that you're hoping for, get a vision of it, hope for it, and the Bible says that whatever you have faith about, whatever you hope for, you can have the confidence that God will actually do it. Hello? Now, I'm preaching pretty good. You guys ought to amen me every once in a while. Now let's go to an old passage that I come to every once in a while, Mark chapter 11. It's the good old faith passage. Everybody that's a good faith preacher preaches on Mark 11. It starts out in verse 22, and he says, then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. Literally in the Greek it says, have godly faith, or have faith like God does. Do you know that God never gets up and goes, man, I just don't know. I'm just not sure. Did you know God never says that? He never goes, I wonder if. God has the faith He has a faith that will pervade anything that may be in our way, any kind of issue that may be in our way. So he says, firstly, have godly faith. He says, I tell you the truth in verse 23. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. I love that, don't you? But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, you can say to a mountain, go jump in the lake, and it will happen if you really believe it will happen and if you have no doubt in your heart. Now, people come to me and they'll say, Pastor Ron, I'm praying for such and such, and I'd really like to have such and such. And I say, are you believing God? Yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe God can do it? Absolutely believe God can do it. Do you have any doubt? Well, I believe God can if He wants to. But I'm not real sure if God would do it for me. I often hear it this way. Pastor Ron, God would do that for you, so you pray for me. As though God somehow would do something for me He wouldn't do for you. I get it all the time. Because people think, Pastor Ron, if you pray for me, it'll happen. And I don't mind praying for you. I pray for you every day. I do by name every day. Every one of you in this room are prayed for every day by name that are part of this congregation. But here's the problem. We have a lot of doubt. And a lot of Christians walk around in doubt. Now, they don't doubt God can. They doubt God will for them. Are you hearing that? And that's where the problem, that's what stops our faith from becoming a reality. The things that we're hoping for to become actuality in our life is that we doubt too much. You remember Thomas? He doubted. He said, unless I can put my finger in his hand and my hand in his side, I won't believe. So Jesus, I love him, is so cool. He just walks in the room one day without using the door. And he could have talked to anybody, could have said anything. He said, Thomas, go ahead, put your finger right there. Put your hand right in here. Go ahead, Thomas. Thomas says, my Lord, my God. All of a sudden, he realizes that God won't only just do it, He'll do it for him. And then Jesus said, you know what, Thomas? It's good that you can touch and believe, but blessed are those who believe who cannot see. Now, he gave Thomas this opportunity because, quite frankly, each one of us struggle with this issue of doubt. And doubt will stop faith from working, and doubt will cloud our hope very, very quickly. If you want God to do something in your life, and I hope every one of you today came to church with an idea or a hope, something that you would like God to do, because I believe God can do it today. I'm going to replay that CD. I just said, I hope every one of you came to church today with something that you're hoping for, because I believe God could do it today. See, the reason we struggle as Christians getting what we need from God done, accomplished, is because we doubt. And don't tell anybody I said this, because I don't want anybody to get offended. But we don't listen very well either. We don't hear the pastor, and we don't hear the sermons we're listening to. It goes through our head, and about half of it gets in there. And then the part that gets in there is usually the part we can go, woo, about. And the part that misses is the part that we got to do. Say amen, it's true. We miss a lot of stuff. So I hope you came to church today with something that you're hoping for, because I believe God could do it today. Now, you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart, verse 23 says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. Everyone say anything. That's a good word, isn't it? As I've said before, I looked it up in the Greek and it means anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now look at this. It says, and if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. Now the word received is a past tense word. It's also a past tense word in the Greek language. In other words, what we have to do is believe that it has already happened. You say, but I'm sick in my body, and I need Jesus to heal my physical body. You have to believe that it's already happened. That at the cross, when Jesus took all those stripes on his body for your healing, he had you in mind, and the healing took place 2,008 years ago in a place called Golgotha. It's not happening now. It's already happened. And faith is the ability to believe and keep on believing that it happened back then and it's coming to fruit now. Isn't that a good word? Jesus said it. I didn't. I love this. I don't preach about it often enough. Tell you, you can pray for anything. Now, I have to say anything because a lot of people say to me, well, Pastor Ron, you know, I know God can do anything, but you think this is too hard for him? With God, all things are possible. The Bible says his arm is not too short. It's long enough to come to your place. Did you know that? Did you know God cares about you so much? But this doubt thing keeps getting in the way because sometimes we say we want to receive it, but I want you to know that you've already received it. If you're a child of the living God, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you're saved, if you want to use that terminology. You're born again. That's a good churchy Christian Bible type term. If that's happened to you and you are a child of the living God, everything Jesus purchased at the cross has already happened on your behalf. Already. So when we pray for the sick, we really pray incorrectly most of the time in the church. We do it because most people don't understand this. We really pray incorrectly. What we pray is, God, heal this person. But what we need to say is, God, your healing that you did at the cross, let it come to fruition right now. In other words, let it take place right now. When you need finances in your life, if you need a financial breakthrough today, don't believe that God's going to do it. Believe that God has already done it. And all he needs to do for you is to bring that financial victory from back there into your life today. It just needs to become a reality. What happened at the cross needs to become a reality in 2008 for you. If your marriage is falling apart, let me just tell you something. If you want your marriage to work, what you need to do is realize that Jesus took care of it at the cross, and all we have to do is give place to it today. If you need anything, it said anything, God will do it. It'll be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, I've listened to umpteen hundred faith preachers preach about Mark 11, 23, and 24 and leave 25 off. Doubt will stop the flow of God in your life, and unforgiveness will stop the flow of God in your life. You see, Jesus is popping along here and he's going, man, you can have anything you ask. Don't doubt, but really believe it'll come. It'll be yours. Everybody going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when you pray, forgive. Isn't that incredible? When you pray, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. There it is. The implication is that if you don't forgive, he's not forgiving you. But if you forgive, his forgiveness is coming your way. So here's a problem, what I see. I see this a lot, actually, is that people will come to the altar to have me pray for them, and they'll come to my office or they'll call me on the phone. All the while, they have this huge grudge in their heart against somebody. Hold not. You know how you hold an ought? You ought not to, that's right. Holding unforgiveness or holding a grudge in your life is a big issue for many, many people. We Christians, don't get mad at me, this is true. We Christians get offended way too easy. Of all the people on the planet, of all the people, of all creation, of all the world that shouldn't get offended, it ought to be us. Because Jesus Christ took all of our offense and nailed it to the cross. And anything anyone could ever do, ever, is not bad enough to lose that forgiveness because we want to feel bad for a little bit. But Jim, you can't believe what they did to me. The body language is phenomenal when people talk to me. You're just not going to believe what so-and-so did. By golly, I just don't know if they're even a Christian. And I say, I'm not sure you are either. Listen, let's allow people to be human. Because you know what? You're going to need it at some point. For every time you're allowing somebody else to be human, you're allowing the opportunity for somebody to allow you to be human. You see, when you're legalistic, when you're harsh, when you're judgmental, when you're down on people, when you're looking so hard at everything they do and looking down your nose, I don't know how you look down your nose, but anyway, you look down your nose at somebody and you're making all that. Every time you're doing that, you're stopping forgiveness coming your way. You're putting a stop in it. And you're stopping the ability and the flow of the Father of all heaven to come and meet your need. So don't walk up here with the fence in your heart and get prayed for. Get to the altar first and say, God, I'm laying it down today. It doesn't matter what they've done. It's not that important. You say, but you don't understand. I know I don't. I live in this bubble world where nobody ever says anything bad to me. Everybody treats Pastor Ron so sweetly. They're so faithful to church. So faithful in their giving. Actually, you are pretty good at that part. Had a family in our church this week. They do it all the time. They've missed a number of weeks because of an injury, on the job injury. And this week I get an envelope in the mail. It's got their tithe for all that time period. They haven't been to church. They didn't pay for the sermon. That's what people think when they put their tithe. I'm paying for my sermon. Better do me good. Putting in my tip. My tithe. Treading deep here, aren't we? Better be careful. Got to get the sermon over with on time. I told everybody I was going to make shorter sermons, but I'm not doing a very good job, am I? Oh, Lord, bless me. Need it. Anyway, this family, I don't pay attention to who tithes and who doesn't. I don't even really know who does. I know some people do because they've handed it to me, and I know they're pretty faithful at that. But most people, I don't have a clue who does and who doesn't. This person sent me this deal. It didn't have a note in it. It didn't say, Pastor Ron, you haven't even called me 14 times. You just didn't. But here's my tithe. Didn't have a note in it. Just had the checks in there. Didn't require anything. Didn't ask anything. I have called them, by the way, but that's immaterial. They're not complaining about anything I've done or haven't done. They just said, here, this belongs to Jesus. I'm sending it on. That's why we ought to give. No strings attached. You give your gift to God. It doesn't come with a requirement of somebody preaching you a good sermon. And however you want to give, if you're not a tither, but you like to just give money randomly, just give how God tells you to give. If you give like the New Testament says, you got to give it all. So tithing isn't that bad, is it? Sorry, I just thought I'd throw that in there. So when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Whew. How many of you know we need to get some forgiveness going in our heart? Because you see, of course, everybody around here in the church doesn't have any problems. We're all perfect. We all, you know, we've got it all together right here in the church, of course. But then you haven't met, I hear this all the time, Pastor. That's right. You think you got that forgiveness thing down, but you haven't met my mother. Well, I might not have, but it's really immaterial. Forgiveness is forgiveness. I hear people say it all the time. Pastor Ron, I hear you talking about forgiveness quite a bit, but if you had to live with my husband, you wouldn't preach that stuff. I've actually had somebody say that to me. I said, are you kidding? First of all, I don't want to live with your husband. That's a little weird. But second, the issue is that forgiveness is unconditional. Jesus wants us to learn to forget. So if we draw back, we don't please God. If we walk in unforgiveness, we're not pleasing to God. If we doubt in our heart, we're not pleasing to God. But we sure want God to show up in our life, don't we? Do we have a part to play? You better believe we do. Jesus said this in Luke 9. He said, another person asked him, he says, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said to him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You say, well, that's kind of rude. He just wants to say bye to his family. That really wasn't the point. The point was is that they wanted to go back and take their time. When you follow Jesus, you follow him all out. Amen? And Jesus said, don't look back. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. And the idea is we got to better follow him. Better get on it. And where's he leading you to? I'll tell you, all good places. Well, I've preached all these notes here. Let's see. Can I ask you a question? What are you hoping for? What do you have on your heart that you need? What is it? What are you hoping for? What's your plan? I said this illustration before, but it's fitting. When they opened Walt Disney World in Florida, the guy who runs Walt Disney Enterprises now reached over and nudged Walt Disney's widow. He said, I sure wish Walt could have seen this. And she leaned back over and she said, he did. See, he was able to see it long before it became a reality. He could see it in his mind and in his heart. And that's what we have to do. That's what hope, when it says an assurance, we have an assurance or confidence that what we hope to will happen, it will be done. We have to see it. I'm not talking about I'm talking about finding what God's Word says about it, trusting that what He says in His Word He can do, and then believing that He's going to do it without doubt in your heart. And God will do it for you. I already preached those notes. Everybody said hallelujah. Lastly, faith gives us an assurance, and I'll be done here. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. The word assurance is the word for conviction. It has to do with evidence. It gives us the evidence that what we can't see will happen. The word seen in the Greek is the word blepo, which means to behold, to be aware, to perceive, to take heed. So the writer here is saying to us, I want you to believe without seeing. I want you to take a hold of it, even if you don't see it. He says here, it gives us assurance about things we cannot see. What is our goal in life? Our goal is to please Him. Now remember he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you believe, if you come to God, you must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Now let's end with this. Think about this a minute for me. It's impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. Well, duh. But the idea of this terminology here is not just the idea of believing mentally that God exists. We must believe in our heart that God is who He says He is, and that He will do what He has said He will do. He will cause us to be what He has called us to be. We must realize that we must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who desperately, sincerely, wholeheartedly investigate, crave, demand, diligently worship God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you want to come to God, you must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who search Him out with all their heart. That's the idea here. He'll reward those. He will bring a reward to you when you trust Him. But what are you hoping for? What do you have in your mind? What do you have in your heart that you'd like God to do today? Think it's too hard for Him? You think it's too much? Or do you believe that God can do it and will do it if we desperately seek Him? I love that first song we sang today. It talked about running to Him. You know, when I first started preaching years ago, about 200 to be exact, I would preach at a lot of youth functions, a lot of big youth functions. And I would ask if there was anybody in the room that would like to make a decision for Christ, or maybe they needed something else. And I loved how young people would respond, because when I'd say, if you need to receive this from Jesus, I want you to come right down here to the front. And literally, these kids would stand up and run physically. They would run down the altar. One time I had an older lady say to me, you know, it's disrespectful to run in the church. I won't even tell you what I said to her. She never came back. Because the truth is that when people come to God, they need to run to Him. I'm just not talking about physical running. I'm talking about a heart that's so expressive. Have you ever seen a little kid sees their dad or mom across the way, and or grandma, yeah, or almost going to be grandpa, and here's the grandparent or the parent, and they're going like this, and here's the little kid, all legs and arms, you know. I mean, they just run with everything they are, you know, like that. Their arms come up like this, and you pick them up, and they just hold you. Oh, I love it when kids do that with me. I love little kids. Little Ashley comes up to me every single Sunday during greeting. She'll come running over here. She gets about there, and if I see her, if I get eye contact with her, here she comes, and she's coming. She just puts her arms around Pastor Ron. She just hugs me. And I'll go, Ashley, I love you so much. You're such a beautiful girl. And I'll ask her how her week went and all that stuff. But it's because of the way she comes to me. A lot of people hug me, and I like that. But there's something about that. Oh, and she'll wait. I don't know if she realizes she's doing it, but she'll wait kind of over there. And if I'm talking to somebody, I can see her in the corner of my eye, and she'll wait until I finish that conversation, and I turn this way, and here she comes. Oh, she just wants her hug. How many of you know we need to get to the Father like that? Amen. Yeah. You know what it does to my heart when Ashley does that? And my heart melts. I'd give her this table, you know. You want my water? I don't care, honey. I'll give it all to you. Just pour it out on you. And that's how the Father in heaven is. So what are you waiting for? What are you hoping for? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank You that You're not a hesitant God. You're not a hesitant Father at all. You so desire for Your kids to run to You with our needs, run to You with our emptiness, our places in our heart that have become non-dependent upon you. Sometimes we become so self-dependent, sometimes even stony in our hearts, God, towards you. We believe that you're a big God and a good God. You can do anything, but sometimes, Lord, quite frankly, we don't really think you could do it for us. And all you're looking for is a heart that just is open, without doubt, without unforgiveness, just an open heart that says, God, here I am. And here's my need. I lay it before you. Would you bless your people today, Lord, with the understanding of your grace? Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we must believe that you exist and that you reward those who diligently search you out. And the reward is, Lord, that whatever we have hoped for, we have confidence that it will come to pass in our life. That's the reward. And every one of us in here needs something today. I'd like to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Please, no one looking around for two more minutes or so. We're going to sing a few songs and go home. But if today you're here and you've not received Christ as your Savior, you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, and if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, you can have life forever in a place called heaven. But not only do you have to wait for heaven, you can get a little bit of it right now. You can get a little bit of His grace and your mercy in your life right now. If there's anyone here today, you've never received Christ and you'd like to today, make your life right with God or commit your life fresh and anew to Him. Right there where you're seated, would you slip your hand up and put it down again? I just want to pray for you. I just want you to make that decision if you need to today. Anyone like that? Maybe say, Pastor Ron, I have something that I'm hoping for. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter how hard it is or how light it is or how small it might seem. And you would really like to have the assurance that what you hope for will come to pass. And you'd like for me to agree with you in prayer about a certain specific thing that you're hoping for. Would you do this? Would you just be bold enough to stand right to your feet, right where you're standing? I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I just want you to stand up. There's something I'm hoping for. And I want God to bring it into my life today. I want to hope for it. I want to see it in my spirit. Let me ask you this, if you're standing, if you have unforgiveness, if you have a grudge in your heart against someone, I'm going to ask you right now to just breathe a prayer before the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm willing to take care of that grudge and lay it down. You may still have to go take care of that after the service today. Maybe it was somebody here, or maybe it's with somebody that you need to call on the phone on your way home or whatever, but take care of it. Because if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, forgiveness is not coming your way. And I want you to get all the goods today. I want you to get it all. So whatever that thing is you're hoping for, the Bible says that faith is the assurance that what you hope for will happen. It's confidence that what you hope for will actually happen. It's an assurance that what we don't even see will come to pass if we really believe and don't doubt in our heart. So I'm going to ask you to put doubt aside. Believe big. Think big. Vision big. God can do big things in you today. And I'm going to pray for you standing right there. And I believe that in Jesus' name, the thing that you have hoped for is going to come to pass if you don't doubt. Father, I pray for the things represented by standing people here today. It doesn't matter to me how big it is or how small it is. I know that doesn't matter to your heart. You care about everything and anything we might come to you with. And so, Lord, each of us that are standing are saying, Lord, we have something we hope for, something that we can see that you can do. We believe you. Remove doubt from our hearts. Let us believe that you will really do it, that you really can, that you will, that nothing's too hard for you. We have faith, God. We have a confidence that what we hope for will happen for us. So remove those obstacles, Lord, of unforgiveness and doubt, and release us to walk as sons and daughters of the living God, receiving the thing we hope for today. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to ask those of you that are standing right now to just really seal this as you worship today before the Lord. And I'd like to ask you to do one more thing before you leave the building today. I'd like you to say at least to one other person, this is what I'm hoping for. This is the thing. Just go to them and say, I'm hoping for healing of this, or I'm hoping for, and I can see it, and God's going to do it. And if somebody comes to you and says something like that to you, you affirm their faith. You say, I believe with you, I agree with you. Okay, you do that today. Would you all stand now together with the worship team, and let's worship the Lord with all of our heart in these last few minutes. He deserves all praise and all honor. Let's give it to Him today. God bless you as you worship. If you need special prayer, guys will be available right over here.